Now let us turn to the passage we read in Hebrews chapter 11, and let us read again at verse 15. Hebrews 11, verse 15, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came, that is Egypt, of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is unheavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And perhaps for the sake of focus, we shall keep before us the phrase here, the very important phrase, a better country, that is in verse 16. Now they desire a better country. Now the context here, of course, is the history of God's ancient people, the children of Israel. And I notice in reading that chapter which we read part of, the key word is faith. And this is through the Old Testament church, the Old Testament history of the people of God. In the Old Testament, the thing that united them was not nationhood, but it was faith. Now, it is vitally important for us to understand that faith has always been the basis and the key to the people of God. It is not true that in the Old Testament that it was a line that was transmitted or handed down by nationhood, that if they were Jews, if they were part of the nation of the Israelites, then they were the people of God. Not so. Some of them were, some of them weren't. The thing that characterized them, those who truly were God's people, was faith. Right from the very beginning, it is faith in the promise of God, faith that God would send the seed of the woman, which he had promised at the very beginning, and which he revealed progressively until he himself appeared, the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the promise. That was the one in which the Old Testament believers had faith. That was the one that God was going to send, the great deliverer. And of course, in this stage we're at, we have the same faith, only we are able, we're in the great privileged position of being able to look back on the Lord Jesus Christ having come and having finished his work. Now the great thing about this, and the reason I'm emphasizing this, is that we must not divide the Word of God severely into the Old Testament and the New. We want to look on this book as one book of God, which has one theme in it from beginning to end, and that is the faith and the salvation of the people of God, save the Old Testament as it is in the New. So that's the key word in all, in every generation of God's people. The key, the common factor is faith in the Old Testament as well as in the New. And this is the common thread that goes through this whole book. And the common thread that marks out God's people in every age. Faith. Faith in God. Faith rooted in His plan and His promise and His purpose concerning the world. And converging on the Lord Jesus Christ. The hope of salvation by faith through a coming Messiah who was to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that was their faith, that was their hope, the coming of Messiah, and the faith in that promise. But ultimately, this led also to the promise of God of a better country. The people of God have this before them, that there is for them a better country, a country of rest, a country of which it is said that is a rest laid up for the people of God. And the important thing is to remember that the better country was in the terms of the Israelites, it was of course the promised land of Canaan, but that was only a figure or a shadow of the true promised land, which was the better country of heaven itself. Now, let's just pick up a few points. You know, at present, as you all know, the world is very much a divided world. Divisions everywhere. The world is divided into divisions and parties and loyalties, just innumerable. And yet, there is only one real division. There is one thing that divides the world just into simply two parties or two people. It is divided into those who are simply citizens of this world and those who are still citizens of this world, but they are also citizens of heaven. Yes, while they are in this country, while they are in their present existence, they look for a better country, and their hope is heaven itself. So these two groups, those who are in their natural state, we might say, and focused on this world and this life, and whose whole thoughts, or almost their whole thoughts, are taken up with things of this world, meeting the problems perhaps as they come, and just seeking to focus on the things which can be seen, the things which are. And also those in the other part who have trusted in Jesus Christ, but still live in this world. They look the same. They don't look any different. And perhaps many worldly people will say, well, they're not any better than we are ourselves. And that may be in some cases be true. But the thing, of course, is that this people, those who are no longer in the natural state focused on this life, those they are people who have their home and their ultimate destiny in heaven. Paul speaks in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, about this division and this strange situation in which the people of God are, while they're in this world, he says, for our conversation, better translated, citizenship is in heaven. While we're here, we are citizens of heaven. That is where our, we might say, to use a common word, our politics are not the politics of this world. And that word that is translated in Philippians conversation, which we better translate by the word citizenship, it is an interesting word, because the word we have, the word politics we have, the beginning of that word, polis, comes from the Greek word for city. And these people, although they are in this world, they are also citizens in another world. They are citizens of heaven. And that is the present divided world, divided into the true, really true parties in this world. The really important division of all the divisions in this world is this. The division between those who are simply citizens of this world, people who are just simply members of this country and nothing more, and the others who are also still members and citizens in this country, yet to look for a better country. Their citizenship, their hearts are in heaven. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But he says, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth nor rust do corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. And that is the business of the Christian in this life. Not to lay up treasure for himself in this world, but to lay up for himself treasure in heaven. Laying that up with his reading of the Word of God, his being part of the people of God on this earth, who is united to them and identified with them, and who can truly say, or should be able to truly say, whatever riches they have in this world, that their treasure is not in this world, that their treasure is in heaven. That is what Christ is, who is their treasure, and their destiny is to be with him. And they indeed are the happiest people on earth. God has done an irreversible work in them. And although that they may have many trials in this life and many difficult circumstances which often make them unhappy, yet fundamentally they should never lose sight of this fact, that as far as their relationship to God is concerned, as far as their future is concerned, they are the happiest people on this earth. They desire, in the words of the text, a better country, that is, an heavenly. One of the early Christians, a man by the name of Augustine, he lived a life of immorality and dissoluteness, and just giving himself utterly over to the pleasures of this world. But he had a praying mother. Her name was Monica. Monica prayed for her son, of course she did. She was a Christian. And her prayers were answered. This man, who had a a gigantic intellect. He then turned all his powers to the Christian faith and became a wonderful understander and expositor of the Christian faith. But he is best known for a work, a major work he did, he called it the City of God. And it just majors on what we've been speaking about this morning, about that city and those who are in that city, citizens in that city, in the City of God, on this earth, and of course whose destination is the City of God in heaven, the better country. In this, they give this whole work over to an exposition of that great division. Secondly, having said all that, we have to look at the question, to which city do I belong? Yes, I'm a citizen of this world, as we all are. But am I also a citizen of heaven? Am I just a member of this country and giving my energies and my time and my motivations, my power to this country? Or do we belong also to another country? Do we have, as it were, a sort of a dual citizenship? Being citizens of this world, which we necessarily are, and hopefully good citizens. And we are also citizens in heaven. A wonderful thing, you know, for the Christian to remember that although he may feel isolated in this world, and many Christians do, far more isolated than we are, isolated, but at the same time, how wonderful it is to know that we are citizens of another country, a country where there is a multitude that no man can number, a country which is growing in number by the day, a country where no one defects, no one falls back, from once they're there, Satan is always losing, and Christ is always winning, as far as that is concerned. The question really is, have you believed on Christ? That is the question. And if you have believed on Christ for your salvation, then it is true to say that you differ. And also you know that you differ. Perhaps that difference came in so slowly that you didn't weren't aware of what was happening, or maybe it just came just like a bolt from the blue. Doesn't matter how it came about. The question is, what city do I belong to? What country am I looking forward to? Where is my heart? Where is my treasure? Is it just the things of this world? Or is it something that is in heaven itself? And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you might say to me, well, how do I know for sure if I am Christ's. Well, we won't spend much time this day, but there's one or two things that we will say in passing. I think it is true to say that if you are Christ's, then you know that you differ from the citizens of this world. Perhaps a certain kind of company that you at one time enjoyed, but no longer enjoy them because you are different. And you might even find, this very often happens, that these same people are now, they don't want your company the way they wanted it before, because you're different. And Paul asks the question, who made you to differ? If there is a difference, then it is God's work. If there is a change in affections, change in tastes, a change in appetites, if we find our thoughts and hopes are centered more on the things of heaven than they are on any achievements or anything built up in this world. These things are really quite clear. That either it's either a simple case of that our hopes and our affections and our ambitions do not center on this life as they once did, but that now they center on the things of heaven. Verse 15 in our text, truly if they had been mindful of that country whence they came, they might have had opportunity to return. And it was just only one just passing moment in the history of the Lord's people. What some did say after they were taken out of Egypt and things were difficult, some did say, let us make a captain and return to Egypt. But they weren't, as a whole, even although life was difficult, even although they sometimes would have hankering thoughts, nevertheless they knew that for them the only destination was the promised land. So, if you are a citizen of heaven while you are still on this earth, then you will know that your tastes and your appetites have changed, especially in certain areas. Mentioned company, entertainment. Yes, and that's a major, major thing in the day we live in. Because there's entertainment for us till it's coming out our ears if we want it. But what is the entertainment? What programs do you watch? What programs do you expose yourself to? What reading material do you expose yourself to? And I mean expose yourself to, because if you expose yourself to things which are not right, things which leave a mark on you, and they leave their mark, things which leave a mark which you wish wasn't there, but you cannot extinguish it, it remains there. So you will seek to flee from these things, from things which leave a mark, which you cannot erase, and which you hate. And you will know that your desires, your appetites have changed. But on the other hand, if the company that you have and that you enjoy, and the books you read, and the programs you watch, and the entertainment you have, if they are things which also leave a sort of a mark, they leave you with gems, jewels from the Word of God. You know, it's a wonderful thing if we find ourselves taking to a verse of Scripture and we enjoy it. And maybe we try and learn it off by heart, and it's so difficult to learn it off by heart. And we say, I must remember what it is in the Scriptures. I must remember chapter and verse, and that becomes even more difficult. But the thing is this, that it is worth the effort. It doesn't matter what kind of tricks you use to remember, to try and remember where that verse is, where that text is, and to be able to go back to it, be able to share it with somebody else. This is a verse which was greatly blessed to me, shared with others. That's a different thing. That's a different world. That's not the entertainments of this world. These are the entertainments of heaven. Then, notice this, thirdly, that God takes pleasure in those who seek a heavenly country. Isn't that wonderful? Does God take pleasure in you? Yes, one thing sure. If you have your heart set on a heavenly country, then God takes pleasure in you. Psalm 147, verse 11, the Lord hath pleasure to take pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Now in verse 16 we see something of that. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Verse 16 in Hebrews 11. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Now notice the connection here. It is God is not ashamed to be called a God because they now desire a better country. God takes pleasure in them. And you know, that's such a massive, it's an immense thing, really, that God would take pleasure in any one of us. But what's the criterion here? Is it those who are good? Is it those who are polished up? Those who have trimmed and sorted and sort of organized themselves in their lives so that everything is going, so that everything is perfect. Polished themselves, they've cleaned themselves. Is it these? Is that the criteria? Are these the ones that God takes pleasure in? No. It's those who have their eyes set on another country. There is a direction in their lives. They are, one might say, at risk of be mixed up with some modern stuff. That they are a One Direction people. They are going forward. Yes, they have their backslidings. Generally speaking, they are going forward. They seek a better country. And because they seek, they desire this better country that is in heaven, therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. God is not ashamed to be called their God. Not because they are polished up people, but because they have so many good works or good things going for them. No, it's not that. It is those who are heading towards a better country. Here it's as clear as can be. No, they desire a better country that is unheavenly. Wherefore? Because of that. Not because of the standards, but because their desires, their inclinations are right. Because they desire a better country that is unheavenly. Wherefore? God is not ashamed to be called their God. This reminds us a little bit, doesn't it, of Psalm 100, where it says, "We are his flock, he doth us take, and for his flock he doth us trade. And for his sheep he doth us take." He is not afraid to be, he is not ashamed to be identified with us, with all our failings. We are not an embarrassment to him, because he is not ashamed, because we have our eye on a better country. Citizens of heaven. There is also that repeated covenant promise in the scriptures. God says to his people, "I will be your God, and you shall be my people." I'm sure it's not one of us has not said at some time or other. Surely I'm ashamed of myself, and surely God must also be ashamed of me. Well, it says that he is not ashamed at all. He is not ashamed to be called their God. For he hath prepared them a city. He wouldn't be preparing a city for them if he was ashamed of them. The world cannot understand that. The world wants standards. The natural man wants standards. But God knows that our best standards are as filthy rocks. He wants us, those who are people of one direction, heading in one direction. People who are heading in that direction because they have received God's remedy. And they have been changed. They are a new creature in Christ. Their tastes have changed. Their appetites have changed. It's all changed. They are the happiest of people as far as their status is concerned. conclude with the words of Moses in Deuteronomy 33:29, where he, towards the very end of his life, has a few words to say about Israel. And he says, "Happy art thou, O Israel, O people, who is like unto thee, a people saved by the Lord." Who is like unto thee? In the eyes of Moses, there was nobody. That's one thing. But it's also true in the eyes of God. He is not ashamed. If we are heading in the right direction, if we are a people of one direction, one aim, one hope, one stage, we look forward to a better country. And it is certain that if we are Christ's, it doesn't matter how weak, doesn't matter how rubbish you feel yourself to be. If you receive Christ and you are heading in this one direction towards this better country, then God is not ashamed of you. He's not ashamed to be called their God. Not just he's not ashamed to be of us having us as his people. But he is not ashamed to be identified with them. Not ashamed to be called a God. Happy people. O Israel. Who is happier than you? None. Despite all the trials, and there are trials and difficulties and difficult circumstances given to us by God in this life. Nevertheless, ultimately, our destiny is sure. We are citizens of a better country. We are people of one direction. Let us pray. O Lord, we pray that thou would bless to us these precious portions from thy word. O that thou wouldst apply them to us with power. That thou would give us grace to embrace the Savior of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou wilt make us people of faith, believers, believing and trusting in Christ. Forgive our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen.